The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Fast am I, good afternoon. Welcome to Man in Line on Manx Radio. I hope you had a good bank holiday yesterday. Another one a week on Friday, so the 2 weeks are 4 days. We're open line through till one, so whatever's on your mind. How about this new development that's going to happen at Lord Street? A signature development. I mean, it is big. 4 cinemas, nearly 90 apartments, retail, hospitality, car parking, everything. Apart from a big telescope on the top. Well, we'll see. Any thoughts on this? If you haven't seen it yet, we'll chat through it later on, but you can go to manxradio.com and see the photos, impressive mock-ups of what it's going to look like. I must say, before I go any further, something I do have to pay a tribute to is we lost the former mayor of Douglas, June Crane. June's died at the age of 90. She was elected in 2002 and served for a year with her daughter, Diane, as mayoress. And she was elected to the Board of Education as well, involved at Paul Rose Youth Club, working alongside her husband, of course, at Crane's Bakery. A loss. And she was a lovely, lovely lady, June Crane, sadly died at the age of 90. Hiya, Tam in Williston, the illegally parked van on Snaefield Road. It's been there since Monday. Haven't heard or seen any action being taken. It's obstructing the bus shelter and blocking the footpath. Is that illegally parked van still there on Snaefell Road in Williston? Anybody spot it? David's first with us today. Hi, David.
Hi, Randy. Just a quick one, too. We've got a vehicle parked near Ogden Park. It's not a camper van, different model this time, but its tax desk ran out in April and nobody wants to book it. It's a strange thing, but I wanted to talk about the concept of the bus station down in Lord Street there, near North, in the conservation area. And I thank Manx Radio for putting up the pictures. I don't know how many, what the height that is, but it's massive.
90 flats. 90.
90. We've got all the flats in Lord Street, which are now boarded up. Why couldn't they do something there? And the other issue I've got is we've got the Summerland side, Park Road, the QB, the one down in the other pub down in Derby Road there. And we've got other several sites which this housing board, is this another housing board spring off? What's happening where we can actually build stuff on certain sites which we need housing for? They're saying the government, we need housing for. So what about the Park Road site?
And nobody said it. It was the Bowling Green, wasn't it? The Bowling Green pub there. We had a Bowling Green at the back as well, but no, it's a massive site.
It's all boarded up. It's all ready to go. We need to bring contractors in. There's not many big contractors now in the Isle of Man. Where are we going to get to build this? And I don't know what the build thing for the one on near the sea terminal there. But, I mean, you're probably talking, I don't know, about maybe 3 years.
It looks very impressive. That's the way it is, a very impressive thing. But as you say, there's all sorts of rumours about what Manx Development Corporation are going to be doing next. Is it going to be Circus Beach? Is it going to be the Steam Packet headquarters? What's going to be happening there? But there just seems to be, you know, we've got lots of places. And, you know, I mean, when David Asher was talking on last week, housing is the big thing. So,
yes.
And we've got brownfield sites sitting there waiting, saying, build on me.
Yeah. And the other thing, I didn't listen to your program when David Ashford was on. I had to do something else, so I apologise for that. Did he say he was a landlord?
Didn't get that far. We were absolutely chock-a-block, but I'll certainly put that to him. We need to know whether he is the official landlord. He did say, I mean, one thing he did point out straight away was, we need a social housing estate, we need a public housing estate, and we need it quick, and the government can do it.
So, but why are they talking to local authorities then, all around the island itself? I don't hear anything personally when I'm involved there. Maybe we haven't got the land, but government do own the land. in several places right around the island.
And how would that be financed, David? Would the local authority have to raise a loan with the government, or what would happen?
We'd have to petition within the central government, and one would hope they wouldn't bounce local authorities back in preference to the housing board. This is what I can't understand. It's taxpayers' money. They're the custodians of the purse in the island there. So if the housing board knock on the door and say, I need 100 million, it seems to get a box ticked straight away, and the planning goes through straight away. But everybody else has got to go through the system and wait forever.
And, I mean, the moan seems to be all the time that we need housing. If there is a need for housing and there's a possibility that it can be financed, and, you know, we do need the social housing estate, we do need to get one because lots of people, that, you know, there's a queue a mile long and lots of them aren't refurbished. So something needs to happen. And I'm sure something's going on in the background. But if somebody would tell us the good news, I'd be really happy.
And if somebody would call Max Radio and tell us what their plan is.
What's this? What's the model of this car that's got no tax disc on compart? What is it?
It's an old Talbot camper van.
Oh, is it? Right. And the tax ran out when?
April. It's been notified to several agencies. But what if that was you or me and we were sitting with a vehicle with no tax on? How quickly do you think they'd have your ticket on your screen?
Oh, they'd be up there with the high-vis vest on straight away.
Yeah, I know they're busy TT week, but it doesn't stop the regular things that should happen when it's quiet or they're doing other things. They should be wandering around and helping people out.
All right. Okay. Good to hear you, David. Thanks for calling.
Bye-bye.
All right. So if any parking controllers listening, easy pinch. Talbot camper van out of tax, Oncombe Park. What do you think?
I've just been looking in the Examiner and the Courier to see if there's a plan indicating the road closures for TT, and there's absolutely nothing, and normally it's in by now. So I've just phoned the Examiner and she's told me that she's been in touch with Highways and they've said they're not doing it this year. So where does that leave the people that have no technical computers, which I haven't, and everything else? We don't know when the roads are closed, when the practices are happening, and the lady at the highway, at the courier, she said that they were getting so many complaints, and they've been in touch with Highways, and they've told them they're not doing it this year. And I'm sure there must be lots of listeners who feel the same way, that it's a great disappointment that it hasn't been done, and it's very difficult to know how to plan the next 2 weeks. It's been interesting to hear other people's comments.
Any thoughts on this? Did you used to take that, cut it out of the paper and stick it on the kitchen board so you knew what was what? Of course, you can go online and get it, and you can print it and what have you, but not being in the papers, interesting, the papers haven't been brought into this. So what about this illegally parked van at Snaefell Road in Willesden? Been there since Monday. Anybody shed any light on it? Well, obviously, what they practice today is kind of, well, look outside. It's going to be a bit difficult. We'll give you all the information on the closures of the roads and what have you later on. But for the moment, the mountain road is closed because of the weather and also because there was an incident earlier on. So this Lord Street car park, it is all happening at Lord Street. Finally, something is going to happen at Lord Street. But, well, if you haven't been to our website yet, take a look at manxradio.com. Everything's there, including the photos. We gave the subject to John Moss to take a look at.
So, development is to go ahead on what was known as the bus station site on Lord Street in Douglas. If you'd excuse me for just a moment. Pardon my cynicism, but after some decades of reports of plans, proposals and predictions to transform what is and has been for years a makeshift car park into... Well, look at some of the artist's impressions over the years. Fabulous structures, cinemas, hotels, retail. That's what caused Douglas Corporation to hand over for the amount of... 25p, the site, the Corpi, were in the process of losing many of their functions, and to be relieved of this problem site would be welcome. But can anyone really believe that a significant development, one with wow factor, will ever be built there? Where I am now standing used to be a modernistic 60s hall from which you could travel to the world's corners. There was a large mosaic of the wall on what was the airport centre. You could catch a bus from here, which would whisk you to Ronald's Way. And from then on, the world was your oyster. It was also, as the name betrays, the Douglas bus station, with concrete waiting areas. For heaven's sake, there was even a kiosk. Now, we all know the problem. It's the solution that seems so hard for anyone to achieve, and it's rumoured that, well, how shall I term it, difficulties in the relationship between government and any developer always seems to put the brakes on any progress. Years ago, the then Chief Minister, Alan Bell, was not backward in criticising the effect that these bomb sites around Douglas had on giving the island a capital to be proud of.
All these things add up to a very negative image of Douglas. And I think we, certainly once the next government is in place, it will need to work very carefully with, I hope, a reinvigorated Douglas Corporation to start tackling some of these problems.
Since Mr. Bell, we've had the quail years and now the canonocracy, and still nothing.
Everybody agrees. Everybody looks at each other, points at these sites and says, oh, they're awful. They're dreadful. Somebody should do something. Somebody must do something. The government should do something. Private industry should do something. Somebody, and yet nothing gets done. So fingers crossed. This is a company called Whytavyn. Whytavyn are the owners of this Lord Street Developments SPV Limited. And they've signed a contract with the current owners to purchase it on condition that the appropriate planning consent is granted. That's everything is based on planning consent. They're talking about this new Lord Street development, four-screen cinema complex, including hospitality facilities. Is that a popcorn stand or what is it? Is it a restaurant, cafe, retail units, restaurants and a food hall, leisure facilities, whatever they are? Is that a gym? State-of-the-art office facilities, bus information centre, drivers' welfare facilities. I think that means toilets. Indoor bus information centre and a waiting area for bus passengers to include seating, toilets, heated rooms and changing facilities, five new bus stands on Lord Street and waiting areas. Maybe they'll even get those matrix signs to show you what the buses are for. Site development with new paving and landscaping work. 85 high-quality apartments with a mix of one-bed, two-bed and three-bed apartments. 91 parking spaces for the residents of the apartments. I thought it was more than one space per... Anyway, 91 spaces for 85 apartments. And we'll wait until the planning goes. Interestingly enough, of course, some less than 100 yards away, poor old Newsom's is sitting there rotting into the ground, waiting to be brought back to its either former glory or, well, something done with it anyway. But at the moment, it looks like a Banksy development. So what do you think on this? The new Lord Street, should we just roar ahead with it? The rumour is there's going to be some more development over the other side of the road by Circus Beach, by the car park, and we'll wait and watch and see for that. We have no room at the prison, says G. Why are UK drug dealers not escorted straight back to the UK with their drugs for the UK who'll let them get here to deal with them? Well, the trouble is, G313, I think you'd probably agree that if they're here with drugs and they've been caught, they've committed an offence on the Isle of Man. And we're duty-bound to deal with that. If somebody commits an offence here, we can't just say, you've been a naughty boy, go back. They've committed an offence and something has to be done, so we have to do something with that. It seems that the Chief Constable, Mr. Foster, is getting his teeth into the problem, with Jerby now putting prisoners in porter cabins. It's so full there. It's a sign of something, probably success, isn't it? The idea of people having to live in 15-minute villages is very disturbing, says Alan. It would be like an internment camp, Alan on 867. How would it be like an internment camp? They're saying that everybody's now going to walk or cycle everywhere. Some people may actually want to do that. Some people may be very happy to do that. And it was a bit like Patrick McGowan in the village. But it may be that people do want to cycle and live close to where they work, and anything else, well, they'll rely on public transport. It's about time we had some skyscrapers. Stop building on the lovely green grass and just build. Highest building on the Isle of Man, is it the apartments in St. Paul's Square? It's 60 years since that development was, so since South Ramsey was cleared, and those were put up. They're, what, 7 stories high, maybe 6 stories high? It would be the highest thing. I can't think of any other. Probably the only other one was the nurse's home on Westmoreland Road. But Des says, stop building on our lovely green grass. The van's gone, says Tam. But with no policing, it'll probably be back. This is the, well, something should be done. You can't park illegally if it's blocking stuff as well. I think the Isle of Man looks run down. Paths full of weeds, run down buildings. This is where you fall. We kind of, I'm a bit torn with this, because drawing attention to negatives is kind of drains everybody, doesn't it? I sent some photos yesterday of the traffic island outside the sea terminal. It's got that one weedy little Manx palm and some grass growing underneath it. Not cultivated grass, you know, weeds growing underneath it. And it looks dreadful. Also inside the sea terminal, they've got some units that are currently being built. And they're not built yet. They've started them. The frames are up there. But we've now got, you know, 40-odd thousand visitors coming. And nobody really planned it. I don't want to highlight the negative. I'm just pointing out what's happened. If it were well done and looked great, I'd mention it. But there we are. All the practice and race schedule are in the What's On pages of the Manx Independent, apparently, dated the 23rd of May. So you need to look at that. The Manx Independent, 23rd of May, says Adam. And thanks to Alice, who said, I remember that, was it a shop or it was a kiosk at the old bus station? It was Unsworth's, Unsworth's kiosk. Do you remember that at the Lord Street bus station, when it was actually a bus station rather than a collection of bus stops? Looking at the Lord Street design, says 068, we don't want it to go ahead. Is this you or other people? Far too big and hideous. I hope it gets refused. We need a bus station there, please. I think developers compete to see who can design the most ugly, out-of-character building. Well, something should be done, shouldn't it? Your caller raises the issues for What's On during TT. We need a joined-up all-island event leaflet for visitors, not spasmodic information here and there, says John. And Julian's with us now. Hey, Julian.
Hi, Andy. Still a bit murky out there, but I think it's starting to clear up a bit, so hopefully
I can't see anything out of the window at all. For all I know, nothing could be happening.
Yeah, it is a little bit, but it's definitely clearing from the southwest, as far as I can see. So I can see a bit of lighter grey out there, so there's a bit of positive. Just out of interest, the World Health Assembly, which is the steering group of the World Health Organization, are currently holding meetings this week. We mentioned this before, about the alteration to the international health regulations.
Yeah.
Nice and easy to find. You can even just go on YouTube and look for WHA-77. WHA, that's the 77th meeting of the World Health Assembly. And of course, it is of particular interest because the 194 member states will be voting to change the international health regulations, including removing one of the first principles that was articulated in the first paragraph of Article 3, if anyone's interested, which will remove the sentence, shall be with full respect for the dignity, human rights and fundamental freedom of persons. I can't understand why anyone would want to remove that paragraph.
Say that again.
So there will be the removal in paragraph 1 of Article 3 of the International Health Regulations. They are removing the sentence, shall be with full respect for the dignity, human rights and fundamental freedoms of persons. That will be removed. Well, that's what they're aiming for. There's also multiple instances where the word may will be changed to shall. And of course, one of the notable absentees from this meeting will be Slovakia's Prime Minister, Robert Fico, who had indicated in a recent speech that he intended to opt out of the international health regulations and also the new pandemic treaty that will be coming up in the future. And of course, he's not able to attend because he's recovering from a recent assassination attempt where he was shot 5 times. So I'm hoping that he will recover quickly.
I'm just trying to think. Did Britain sign that pandemic treaty? I don't think they did they?
Well, it's an opt-out. If they don't send a letter to say we're not interested, they automatically get opted in, a bit like organ donation.
And does that rope us in, or have we got an actual say?
Well, this is what I asked Jane Paul Wilson, but at Time last year and also on the roadshow, she hadn't got an answer for me, unfortunately. So I don't know if, with us being a Crown Protectorate, are we bound to the UK with this one? I don't know. Still waiting for an answer on that one.
Well, it would be nice to know, wouldn't it?
Yeah. And just a quick catch up on the conversation I had with David Ashford on your show last week.
Yeah.
I was quite surprised to hear David comment on the cost to the taxpayer of the proposed assisted dying bill. I'll just quote what he said. He said, "In terms of the actual cost of the health service, I will be absolutely honest and say, as far as I'm aware, there's been no calculation done," which seems kind of strange if you're trying to push a bill through when you don't know what it's going to cost us.
Well, I mean, the thing is, are they going to privatise it or will it be done by the state? Because, I mean, at the moment, Manx Care don't seem to be... Manx Care go to lengths to say they could harm recruitment of medical personnel. So is this going to be a private company? We figured out what Dignitas charging anywhere between, what is it, €8,000 and €15,000 in Switzerland. Mm. So is it going to be private? Will you just have to pay for it?
Well, that's it. And I think David made out that it would only be the drug costs and some of the consultancy fee. But I noticed that Oregon's own assisted suicide legislation called Dignity in Death, their drug protocol in 2016 was $3,500, not including staff and consultancy costs. So how much do you reckon $3,500 in drugs will have increased in 8 years, Andy? Especially since the Ukraine war and everything going up with inflation at a crazy rate. Hmm. I also noticed that in July last year, Oregon waived the residency requirement for people enrolling in their assisted suicide protocol, but recommend that enrollees should stay in Oregon to carry out the assisted suicide rather than ingest the drugs back in a state that doesn't have the same assisted suicide legislation. So they've waived the residency requirement, although that was supposedly set in stone.
This whole thing is at the moment fraught with information, misinformation, opinion. Everybody's got and at the moment, we're just trying to navigate our way through it. Whether or not it will actually happen, of course, is open to conjecture. We don't actually know whether or not it will happen. It's in clauses at the moment, isn't it?
Mm. I just wonder, though, if Canada's approaching 10% of its death is through this system... There's 900 on the island. If the cost looked like they're anywhere near 10 grand, that's going to be about $1 million a year if the state insists on doing this. So, it's something to consider. At least it would be nice to have the electorate consulted on the fact that, it's $1 million. And don't forget, Dignitas doubled within not too many years. So it could be $2 million a year within not too many years if it does go through.
Okay. All right. Thanks for calling today, Julian. Good to hear from you.
Thanks, Andy. Cheers.
It's 12:30 on Manx Radio. In these 15-minute cities, you can't go on holiday anywhere, so you have to get used to walking for 15 minutes, says Des. No developer would ever consider building a bus station, says 753. There is no profit, no big profit, in running a bus station, because all you do is charge the bus company rent for stopping there. So the only money you would make, really, will be having concessions in there, kiosks and what have you. But we'll see. Obviously, it's going to go to planning, isn't it? So we'll have to see what happens to the planning. There's lots and lots. I mean, I don't know whether you've got visitors or you've been chatting to some of the visitors, talking about the state of how the island is. They're overwhelmed, you know, in a good way. They love the Isle of Man because of the natural beauty of the place. It's just some little things just let us down. Oh, wow.
Man in line. Hi, this is Andy in Port St. Mary. I wanted to give Isle of Man residents a heads up if they're planning to buy any merchandise directly from the shop IOMTT Races website, because I've fallen foul of their returns policy. I bought a T-shirt and found that it was A, of inferior quality, and B, not sized as I expected. And so I went to their website to arrange a return, as a returns label is mandatory. First thing to say is that the link to the returns page doesn't work, and you have to use your intuition to amend the link by deleting three spurious characters. I think that's a ploy to deter any would-be returns, don't you? Having waited 24 hours, the returns label didn't arrive, and I sent an email to customer services in Liverpool, who responded to say that they were looking into it. Later in the day, I received a response which alerted me to the fact that they cannot issue returns labels for Isle of Man, and as such, I'm on my own to return the item without their return authorisation or tracking. So, the official merchandiser for IOMTT items can't handle returns to customers from the Isle of Man. That doesn't sound like it's been thought through. Or am I expecting too much? The email I received from the Isle of Man TT Races customer service team reads, "Good afternoon, Andy. We've checked, and it would appear that the Isle of Man does not qualify for returns to the UK. Our label provider only issues Yodel and Every labels, which can only be accessed from UK-based customers. You will therefore need to organise a return directly to the below address, somewhere in Prescott in Liverpool. I just thought I'd give a heads up. Anybody who's purchasing off the island, you're on your own. All the best, Andy. See you."
Good to hear from you. Have you come across this? That was Andy. So Yodel and Every only works if you're in the UK. You can't return from the Isle of Man. If you've come across this problem, if you've tried to and failed, or indeed if you've navigated and found a way to do it, do get in touch, would you? 27 minutes before one, a bit murky this Tuesday lunchtime. TT 2024 is underway, and of course our friends on AM 1368 with the best biking station in the world. And Sue's on now. Hi, Sue.
Hello, Andy. I've tried to stay off the Manning line because I've been on the TV and the papers and everywhere else. But I feel I have to come on because so much misinformation about the assisted dying keeps coming up. A typical example, and I think perhaps Julian should come and sit through a Tynwald sitting before he starts quoting things. And I do know Julian well, and we're friends outside of this argument. But he has just said there are 900 deaths on the island that would qualify for the assisted dying. There were 250 million people who have access across the world to assisted dying. It is 1% or less than 1% of take-up. Most people won't take it up. It's only those that become absolutely desperate, as my husband was, because they're in so much pain. If you're not in pain, you are always going to cling on to life. That is natural human nature. So, bearing in mind a 1% take-up, the figure he has just quoted of 900 people all wanting this and the amount it will cost is completely unfounded. It would be between 4 and 9 people. That is more likely. And that was actually stated by Dr. Allison in Tynwald. Now, I was at the last demonstration outside of Tynwald, and I spoke to a gentleman who I think is a vicar. He didn't have his dog collar on last time, but I'm sure I've seen him in there in his dog collar. And he said to me, one of the things that put him against the assisted dying is that the person requesting it would have to go to a room alone with their doctor. And I said, that's not true. And he said, well, you haven't read it. And he stated the clause and the amendment and everything to me. And I went back and I checked with Dr. Allinson, and it was completely wrong. What it says is you go to a room and a doctor must be present. Any members of your family or friends can be there. Whoever the dying person wants there can be there. But obviously, a doctor has to be there also. It would be ridiculous if you didn't have a doctor there. So, you know, and that is a tip. And this man was adamant, so adamant that in the end, I believed him. You know, but I did go and check. And this is the sort of misinformation that these people are putting on here day in, day out. And I pray to God that the electorate that are listening, make sure you have read the legislation, have understood the legislation if there is a referendum. Sit in a Tynwald sitting, speak to somebody who genuinely knows about it, preferably Dr. Allinson, because obviously he's the one who knows the most. Do not just listen to this misinformation that's constantly being spouted. You know, you can twist facts and figures. I think everybody knows that, you know, when people do surveys and every survey says something different, to a certain degree, you can do that. But these are legitimate figures of a 1% take up everywhere. So the other thing that constantly comes up, Alf Cannon has repeatedly said he has this 80-year-old lady who says to him, I don't want an assisted death. This is a perfectly healthy woman, wants to go on and live a life. Great. Nobody at any point is suggesting that just because you're old, you have an assisted death. This bill is for people like my husband, who, as I have said before, was lying in bed with morphine in every single limb and various other pain covers, killers, being helped to breathe through a mask and a pipe feeding him, and his body decomposing while he was still alive. That is the sort of person it's for. And I'm hoping Millie Blenkinsop can't come on today, but she's going to hopefully come on tomorrow and explain about the lovely death that her nephew's wife had, because she was dual nationality and went to Holland. And it's a beautiful story, and I hope she manages to get on. But really, we do have to stop this misinformation and people who come on here every day and think they know everything about everything. And I find it sickening.
So the official, the figures that you've heard from Dr. Allinson, between 4 and 9 people per year.
Yes, and regarding the cost and who it goes to, if they make it private, and I know that's what Kate, Lord Brennan, would like, then you are then only making it available to the rich. So it does, this is only my opinion now, it should be available to all. And I am loath to mention money, but they keep bringing up how much it will cost.
Yeah.
My husband's medication was thousands. And I don't like bringing up medication because it makes it sound badly. And I noticed that the minute Dr. Allinson mentioned it, one of the other MHKs, Julie Edge, immediately twisted what he'd said into saying, oh, so we're bringing it in to save money. The fact is, it will probably be neutral because one will cancel the other out. One medication will stop and a different medication will be given. So the chances are it won't cost anything. It'll be neutral because you have the drug that gives you a nice peaceful death, or you continue with the drugs that are no longer working, you know, because if you go on too long. With some people it does. That's great. You know, if you're pain-free and you're comfortable, that's fabulous. You carry on. Nobody would wish it on you. The other thing that they constantly say is, oh, coercion. Okay, there's always going to be one bad person out there, maybe. But the fact is, when people have looked at this in other places, what has actually happened is the person is asking to die and the children and the rest of the family are saying, please don't, please don't. We don't want to lose you. So actually the coercion is often the other way. But I think when you talk about coercion, people can't just stand there and say, this is what's going to happen. Everybody's going to say, oh, you're in the way, Grandma. You know, don't want to look after you, costing this in a home and whatever. This is for the terminally ill only. People like Simon, who had motor neurone, people with cancer, there are various other diseases. I mean, Simon's brother-in-law died of MS. His wife is a nurse, and my sister-in-law is in full support of me because she's seen this herself personally and in the workplace. So all I'm saying is, if this comes to a referendum, please check it out, because people are constantly telling you things that are not true. And you've got to be sure, if it goes to a referendum, you've got to be sure. Personally, I think the MHKs should be, we vote them in to make a decision. How often do they put things out to consultations? Cost thousands. please, MHKs, make the decision yourself. We vote for you. Make this decision. But if you are going to choose to put it to a referendum, you must make sure that the population have the correct information and are not just listening to people who are amateur know-alls. I'm sorry to sound so harsh.
No,
Obviously, I find this very, very painful. And I'll be honest, Andy, I very rarely listen to the show because I can't. I just get so angry and
Sue,
upset.
You've had a unique experience, an extremely grim experience with your husband. And for most people, they don't have that experience, you know. Fate chose you to have that experience. Not many people have gone through what you've gone through. So they don't...
Sorry, Andy, carry on.
No, they don't have that insight that you have. This is such a personal matter that most people never come across this decision. You were forced into that situation, and now this has led you to this opinion. So before your husband became ill, was it something that ever crossed your mind? Did you have an opinion on the sister dying?
No, I'll be completely honest. When you're perfectly healthy, you don't think about these things. I wish this had come up before, but I can't say we did, because when you're healthy, you don't think about it. Okay. So, no, being honest, I didn't. I have read a lot about it now. I would urge people to read Keith Wilkinson's book, If in Doubt. That might help. He was a anaesthetist and a doctor over here, both in hospice and at Nobles for, I think it's 37 years, you know, or asked to talk to him. Because you need to speak to people who are on the front line that have seen this. And it's not normally the GP either. It's the nurses. Okay. They do the palliative care.
So I appreciate it, and I know exactly what I mean. I don't like talking about this. It's my job to talk about it. This is a situation that we're in now. The decision has been made. There's some legislation that possibly may be on the way. So we talk now. Who knows? If it comes in, it may be a fuss about nothing. It may not affect very many people, but we don't know at the moment. Nobody quite knows how the chips are going to fall.
But I think it's highly unlikely that all 900 people are going to choose this, because it's just, you know, they just won't. People don't. People do have a peaceful death.
Okay.
All I'm urging people is to please make sure you know your facts, and you've just not had them from somebody who sounds very clever, but actually is not always right.
All right. Appreciate your call, Sue.
I was convinced. Thank you very much for listening, Andy.
Thanks a lot. Thanks for talking to the Man in Line audience today. 17 minutes to one.
The Ginger Hall has it all. Check out the new restaurant, now open, at the Ginger Hall Hotel, where you'll find a fantastic range of food, from classic winter warmer bistro-style dishes to delicious Sunday specials and great celebration meals. Don't delay. Book now on 897-231. Or visit our Facebook page for all our opening times, pictures and full menus. You'll even find details on our live music and more. The Ginger Hall really does have it all.
With unlimited broadband from Shaw from £39.50 a month, you'll be laughing.
Shaw Fibre Broadband. It's the lowest price on island. For more details, see us in store or visit shaw.com. T's and C's apply.
Helmets are on and engines are revving, which only means one thing. The new season of the TT races is heating up. And no matter if you're at the track or in front of the telly, Tesco can help you fuel the fun. Choose from our range of ready-made snacks and drinks, prep for a picnic with our deli selection, or get ready for a grill up in the garden. So, put the pedal to the metal and visit your local store before the action starts. Tesco, every little helps.
Look, a yellow beetroot!
Surely not.
And a purple carrot.
I've never seen that before.
And we grew them ourselves at school.
For the third year in a row, KPMG and Manx Radio have joined together for the Rainbow Allotment Project, giving primary school children the opportunity to have fun while learning about growing produce and sustainability.
Not just ordinary vegetables. We grow colourful veg in all shapes and sizes.
All different, just like us.
The best thing is watching the seeds grow.
Working with primary schools across the island, the Rainbow Allotment provides planters, compost and seeds so kids can get growing.
The Rainbow Allotment Project with KPMG and Manx Radio. Tonight at 6 o'clock here on Manx Radio, join Kiri Kermode and myself, Simon Clark, for Countryside.
We'll be hearing from Bill Galley from the Southern Vintage Engine and Tractor Club about a great event that's coming up.
And I was at a packed Gilcock farm in Andreas to witness some locals and international sheep shearers in action at the Isle of Man International Shears Competition 2024.
That's all in Countryside tonight here on Manx Radio at 6 o'clock. And don't forget, you can download and subscribe to the podcast for free at manxradio.com.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
14 minutes to one. Bonzo's on. Hi, Bonzo.
Hi there, yes. Just briefly, before I talk about what I wanted to talk about, responding to your previous caller, yes, you know, here. I mean, not only is there quite a lot of disinformation floated around about assisted dying, but of course on a great number of other subjects, such as the World Health Organization pandemic treaty, 15-minute cities, climate damage, all sorts of conspiracy and nonsense, which are just, you know, regurgitated again and again and again and again, day after day after day, by the same small section of persons phoning in. And I think this is something that, as I've said before, I think this is something Manx Radio are going to have to address, because it is distorting the political discourse on the island.
Yeah, but this is an opinion programme, Bonzo. But if it's somebody's opinion, palpably with many people, it is an opinion, that's their opinion, and people draw their own conclusions.
People are quite... You know, people are quite at liberty to voice their own opinion. It's when they parade it as fact that's the problem. And, you know, we've discussed that before, but I'll just leave it at that. Going to more topical matters, I was just seeing a tweet on Twitter. I'm not going to call it X. I'm not falling for Elon Musk's marketing. Talking about the price in the TT paddock of a burger and fries and a can of water. How much do you think that was?
£6.
Higher.
£9.
Higher.
No.
Yes.
How much?
£25.
What? What?
Oh, no. I mean, cough.
Do you get a wash and brush up as well?
Well, I'm not quite sure what the burger was made of. Unicorn. But, you know, he put a photograph of it up, and, you know, it looked like a fairly reasonable, reasonably made burger, not just some sort of, you know, flat catering in a sort of mushy bun or something. You know, nice sesame seed bun and stuff. Yeah, right, fine. But £25. This apparently from an off-island vendor who bought a pitch. All the people, apparently English as well, who were, or should I say, off-island, actually working at the place. So, again, like your previous caller who left a message about TT merchandising, which I've heard other stories about how it's very much not up to the mark this year, it does show that there is a certain attitude of, you know, they will come so we can take as much money off them as we like, rather than actually nurturing the event and nurturing the participation of the fans, and indeed understanding that the whole event relies on local goodwill. And there doesn't seem to be very much in the way of encouragement of that.
Do you think many people are going to buy a burger and chips and a bottle of water at £25?
Well, now they know about it, I'm sure they won't. And other people are advertising, yes, if you just want to wander out of the paddock for 2 minutes, you know, you will find somewhere where you can get some actually very nice stuff locally produced, and it won't set you back that much. But this is the kind of thing that I know Sarah Monkley's only been in the job, a couple of months at Motorsport Enterprise. But I think grips are going to have to be got, and certain people, I think, may be encouraged to find their talents used somewhere else in the civil service rather than Motorsport and TT, because they obviously don't really understand it.
OK, all right. Good to hear from you. Thanks, Bonzo.
Okay, cheers. Bye.
It's 10 to 1 now. Tony's on now. Hi, Tony B.
How you doing, Andy?
Very well, thank you. I'm not having a burger and chips, I'll tell you that much.
Well, Bonzo wanted to say, when we all talk about a load of rubbish and we give our opinions. What's he just done, given his opinion? So, you know, it's an opinion programme, and we all have a right to say what we think. He thinks it's 25 quid is steep for a burger. Go to London. Find how much it is there. It's not cheap. There's other places as well where they'll charge you more. So
I hear that the burger people are paying something like up to £20,000 for a pitch.
Well, then you'd expect the burgers to be £25, wouldn't you? The issue is, if you don't want it, don't buy it. I refuse to buy any TT paraphernalia because I don't like the colours and I think the rubbish quality compared to what it used to be. I won't buy it. Full stop. Right, what I came on for was not to talk about stuff about a 2-week period in the year when everything's wrong and everything's right and we all run round in circles. What I came on to say was, with the greatest respect to the lady who was on before, I know what it's like to lose somebody very slowly. It's terrible, right? But the Isle of Man shouldn't be rushing forward with this bill. This is just a diversion so that Mr. Allenson can avoid answering all the questions about his policies and everything else under his main job, which is the Treasury. And this is the same as the other one from Ramsay. He runs around in circles saying we haven't got enough money for the health service. I can't manage it. We'll then get out the job. The job of a manager is to manage his budget. He's given a budget, get on with it, manage it. And we've got a situation where the health service is in crisis. It's rubbish. They can't staff a new care home. Why did they build it? Because they built it. They ordered it. They built it, but they can't. They didn't think ahead. The whole of the administration is falling apart. And what we're focusing on is, well, you know, I want to get rid of the bishop, that being the MHK, not the populace. I want to have assisted dying, that being the MHK, not necessarily the populace. The Isle of Man is under the UK at certain points. If we pass a law and then the UK comes along and passes a different law, how's that going to be? How are we going to be able to manage to fix it? Why don't we just let the UK get on with it? And they are saying they're going to have one, assisted dying, and then we just copy it. Isn't that a lot more useful time spent than Kate Lord Brennan trying to make up laws and trying to cover everything with a very small department that's wasting its time, because at some stage the UK will come along and say, no, we're not doing it that way.
So you reckon we should just bide our time and then take UK legislation?
Correct. Why would we try and reinvent the wheel when somebody else is doing it? I just don't see it. Why should we get rid of the bishop, which is basically a part of the legislation? When did Timwell take the right to change the legislation of the Isle of Man? You know, that should be under a referendum, as should be the assisted dying. And we should just adopt what is there. With the people who turn around and say, OK, I want to give my kidney or my heart or whatever, did we put our legislation in place? No. We're copying the UK. Not very well, but we're copying it. So my question is, why are we going off on these wild goose chases as the Isle of Man? Not that they're a wild goose chase in the sense they're not important, but why are we doing it now?
Are you seriously saying these are diversionary tactics?
Yeah, 100%. Whose idea was it to get rid of the bishop? An individual. And a Lib Dem, whatever he called it, Lib Vanin party. His party decided to do this. That's why he's put it forward. For Dr. Allenson, it's a pet thing that he wants to do. But their jobs are suffering because they're not doing their jobs. Treasury is not doing a very good job. We're slowly but very surely sinking below the waves of a debt mountain that nobody seems to realise is there. We have a health service that is not working properly. Why can't we just fix those two things first instead of running around diverting attention to something else?
It's all gone very quiet over the Kroger gas, hasn't it?
Well, yeah, because they basically they've made Kroger not do what they want to do. This idea that you have to go and do a seismic survey, that, people used to go and drill wells on an ad hoc basis to see. They've already had a seismic survey. What they were going to do was a 4D survey, which gives just a bit more accuracy on where the zones are. If they want to go and risk their money drilling a well as a wildcat, which means we'll give it a try, why are we stopping them? Because some idiot has been told that they're not producing it right. Who would know in this government anything about producing oil or gas? I don't know anybody in government who has a clue.
All right.
Good I've not heard anybody come on with anything sensible.
Good to hear from you, Tony. Thanks for being with us today.
Andy, one last thing.
Yep.
I want to know how your boat ride was.
Oh, I was lovely on the. I went out on the Mananan. That was nice, and came back on the Manxman. Very nice in the cabin. I slept like a baby.
Oh, now my question is: did you feel any vibration?
That's no, I was feeling no vibration at all. I was absolutely worn out, sitting waiting to get loaded at Heysham, and went out like a light, Tony. I'm sorry to disappoint you.
No, you're not disappointing me. It just means that you don't necessarily feel the same vibration in the cabin as you do elsewhere. So that's another thing, that the steam packets should just come forward and just tell us what's going on.
Thanks for being
because
with us, Tony.
They're a publicly owned company.
Right.
Okay,
cheers.
Now. All
bye.
The best, mate.
Bye.
You look after yourself.
Thanks a lot. Ask the talk of the town how they've been hampered doing their business, says this correspondent. Talk of the town, the restaurant in Nobles Park, are they having problems? They've closed the car parks, haven't they? That's the Nobles Park car park, and the St. George's car park was closed earlier on today. And if it continues to rain, it's going to get very muddy there. I was at the grandstand yesterday, a pitch up there for a retailer, £6,000 plus VAT. They've got to sell some stock to get that back. Also, one person selling levers, no pitch for him, but a pitch for model cars. Nothing to do with racing bikes. I'm dissatisfied, says Sean and John in Douglas. Thanks for getting in touch. That's it for Man in Line today. Going to be back tomorrow. Another open line. Fingers crossed on the weather. All the action on AM 1368. Thanks to Jazzman Howie on the phones. Enjoy the rest of your day. WINT.